ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I think that's a good thing for us as pastors to hear. Don't give up. You keep teaching the Word of God. And I think it's a good lesson for all of us. We get tired. We get exhausted. People are coming to us for help, for need, for a shoulder to cry on, whatever the case. And it could be tough. And the spirit may be willing, but the flesh, you know, is weak. And so we can't depend on our strength. We need to seek the Lord to strengthen us so we could accomplish these things. Some of you know this, but what happened to me was many years ago when I first came up here to be pastor of this church. And it's a lesson I'm still learning, but the Lord showed me something huge. I was not only pastor of the church, I was working in a hospital 36 hours a week and a lot of overtime. I was doing the two studies here at Calvary. I was married, had two young children to care for, which, you know, they were involved in sports and other things. So I was busy, I was tired, and I had a set schedule. And, you know, my wife just drives her crazy because I'm so regimented. You know, Steve had said one time, man, if anyone wanted to kill you, they know exactly where you'd be every single day of the week. Yeah, pretty much so. So I was really busy. And I'm trying to study and do all these other things. And someone in the church had the nerve to call me and bother me while I was trying to study. I mean, can you believe that? The nerve. Okay, that's a little sarcastic, okay? I began to complain. Not to this person, but to the Lord. I was like, come on, I got to get this stuff done. And phone call after phone call, come on. And you know how the Lord goes, Joe, isn't that the reason you're up here for the people? And it's, you know, it's like, bam, on the side of the head. Oh, yeah. You know, and you could try and do the, yeah, but Lord, and it doesn't work. You know when he has you, there's no way out. Of course that's the reason for the people. I'm not here just to do the studies. It's for the people I'm here for. And the interesting thing was that when I took that time to minister to people, the Lord always provided the time for me to do the studies. And again, it was a lesson I needed to learn. It was a hard one because I was so regimented in doing things. And the Lord said, you got to be flexible to change your schedule. So I try to do that. I'm still learning, but wow. What about all of us now? Well, maybe there's someone in your neighborhood that needs a hand with their yard work or housework because they're sick or they just can't do it. Or ministry at the church. Maybe you don't feel even called to it, but you see a need. And there's a list of a lot of different things, and that's between you and the Lord, what he wants you to do. But take a look around you and see those that might need some help. You know, we have a lot of good excuses why we can't do something. I did, but the Lord showed me, look, take time to care for the people, and he'll take care of me. And he does, and he does that all the time. So here are all these people. Jesus is teaching them all day long, right? Ministering to them. Matthew 14:15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. Wow. Mark also, chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves some bread, for they have nothing to eat. Again, Jesus taught them all day. Now it's late. You have 15,000, maybe 20,000 people that are there. They're getting hungry. It's getting late in the day now. And out of that, Jesus asked Philip a question that's going to blow his mind. Because Philip's going to try to figure this out. How am I going to do this? How am I going to get food for all these people? The question that Jesus asks is, or Philip answers when Jesus says, you know, what are we going to do with them? Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Yeah. I mean, it's not like they can go to Piggly Wiggly or whatever and, you know, then again, they wouldn't go to Piggly Wiggly. It wasn't kosher. But, yeah, sorry. But 15,000 to 20,000, even our stores couldn't handle that, right? So how are they going to do that? Jesus didn't ask Philip that question because Jesus didn't know the answer. He knew the answer. What is he doing then? He's trying to stretch the faith of Philip. Philip, how are we going to do this? Well, this is an impossible situation. Yeah, so how are we going to do it, Philip? Trying to draw out his faith, stretch his faith. And that leads us to the next point, the problem. Look at verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. What is he thinking about? I mean, Jesus asks a simple question, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip's answer is, look, if we had 200 denarii worth of bread, that's not even enough to buy for all these people so they can have just a bite. A denarius was the ordinary pay for a day's labor. So about 6 months' wages, but that wouldn't be enough to feed these people. Again, the reason he asked that question was to draw out the faith of Philip. Not to come up with a solution to the problem, but to look to Jesus. And we see this over and over again in the New Testament, where people are focused on the physical. How are we going to do this in a physical way? And Jesus is trying to show us on a spiritual level. And I love Jesus because he doesn't get mad. He doesn't get angry. He works with the individual. Why? To draw out their faith. And sometimes they see it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they refuse to see it. But Jesus gives them the opportunity, and then it's up to them. Philip, again, looking on the physical level, and you're going to come up short. You know, the answer to Philip's problem was right before him. Who asked the question? Jesus did. Philip, Jesus could provide, right? But he wasn't thinking like that. I'll give you an example to show you how sometimes we miss the obvious and we go to the physical realm to try and find the answers. Maybe some 20 years or so ago, we were putting on a Christian concert in Washington Park and doing a teaching there. And we had the bands that were coming out, and I was going to do a teaching. And as we were setting up that morning, the skies did not look good. They were very dark. There was rain that morning. And we started to set up, but again, it didn't look good. It looked very threatening. It was early in the afternoon, and Chris, one of our elders at that time, and I looked at the situation. And we thought, man, should we set up all this equipment? Because, you know, electronics and water don't really mix. And so we were thinking about this, and Chris and I decided, you know, his house isn't that far away. Let's go to his house, get on the computer, and look at the radar and see what's coming. So we did. We told the guys, don't set up anything else. Just wait for us. We'll be back in a little bit. And again, the skies looked pretty bad at that time. And here's Chris and I. We're in the basement. There weren't any windows. And we're looking at the weather report. We're looking at the radar. There's just rain all around us. It looked bad. And we were saying, you know, maybe we should just cancel the concert because if we set up and it rains, all that equipment's going to be shot. So here we are, great men of faith, left his house to go back to Washington Park. And the sun's shining. The rain's gone. And everyone else that was at the park, they all set up all the equipment. It was all ready to go. Here we are ready to go cancel the concert. And God blew away the rain. And we had sun. Wow. We were looking at a worldly report saying, rain is all around you. You need to shut this thing down. God was saying, I have other plans. And we had the concert. We have to look to the Lord. We are placed many times in impossible situations. And we go, how am I going to get out of this? And it's a mess. We need to look to the one that can help us. How many times in my life have I tried to do things apart from someone who knew what they were doing? Remember when we were back in Illinois, in our house there was a furnace for the lower level, and the fan broke, so I was putting a new fan in, and so I turned off the circuit breakers, right, for that piece of equipment, and I took my screwdriver and touched the wire and flew off the ladder. And my hair was like an afro for 6 months. I needed an expert. I needed someone who knew what they were doing. I didn't. And here's a person who knows everything and can do anything, and that's Jesus. For Philip, Jesus' question was not asked for an earthly answer, because he was the answer. In fact, one writer wrote this. He said, "Master, about what Philip said, I don't know where the food is to feed this crowd, but you are greater than Moses, whom God used to feed a multitude every day in the wilderness. And God can certainly do a lesser work through a greater servant. You are greater than Elijah, whom God used to feed many sons of the prophets through little food. What is more, the scriptures say that man shall not live by bread alone, and you are great enough to fill this multitude from the words of your mouth." Exactly. That's what Philip should have said. "Lord, you can do it. I can't, Lord. I have no resources to accomplish this, but you can. How do you want to do this?" And I realize that some of us, you know, are discouraged this morning with our faith. But again, like I said, God doesn't give up on us. I'm living proof of that. He'll continue to draw out your faith, always having us look to him for the answers to our problems, our solutions, what's happening in our lives. Philip understood completely he could not do this. He could not feed all these people. And, you know, he kind of lowered the standard, but he said, even if I lowered the standard, we had 200 denarii, we still couldn't buy enough food. It's impossible. And Jesus didn't want them to nibble on some food. He wanted to fill them. Impossible with all these people. And here's the thing. I don't care how big the problem is. Jesus is always the solution. We should always go to him. But how often we come up with our own solutions, and that's what we see next, worldly solution. Look at verse 8 of John 6. "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?'" Now, John doesn't give us this information, but the other Gospels do, and that information is the solution that they came up with at first to deal with this problem. Because, again, it's late in the day, there's no food, there's no grocery stores that they're going to be able to go to, and their worldly solution, Matthew 14:15. "When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.'" That's also what Mark says, 6:35-36. We read that. "When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.'" So the disciples wanted to be in the ministry of sending people away. And Jesus always said, "Come unto me," right? So opposing views on how to do ministry. How could they do something like that? How could they say, "Send them away"? You know, churches, Christians do that all the time. They send people away because they don't want to take the time to help. J. Vernon McGee, who's been home with the Lord for some 33 years, warned the church of this kind of behavior, something he was seeing in his day, and it's normal today. This is what he wrote. "Right now, church leaders are saying that we need to send the multitudes away, that there are natural ways of caring for their needs. We send them to psychiatrists for emotional help and the government for physical help. The thing which is lacking is the power of the Lord Jesus. If we only had that power, we wouldn't need to send the multitudes away. We fail to realize that the solutions today are not in government or in human imaginations, but in God. Once we were told we could do nothing without Christ," Jim Owen wrote. "Now we almost hear that Christ can do nothing in us or for us without the help of Christian psychology. Even the Holy Spirit is pictured ineffectual without the right counseling methods. You know, please don't send people away. What do? You love them. You listen to them. What do you know? And I understand there are psychological issues that need to be dealt with, but a lot of times, people need to be listened to. They need to be able to talk. It's something we did years ago when I was growing up. We sat at the table for meals and we talked. Our problems were resolved at the table. But we don't have the time and everyone's running to and fro and no one wants to listen. And even in the church, you know, it was funny, you know, years ago when we first started, I'd be preaching and I would pray at the end and I say amen and I look up and like, boom, everyone's gone. I'm like, what happened? Where'd they all go? I am so blessed to see people hanging around talking to each other. That's counseling. That's ministering to the needs of other people. How wonderful that is. God wants us to minister to people, not to send them away. In fact, in Matthew 14, 16, this is what Jesus said. Again, something probably blew their mind away. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And that's not a suggestion. In the Greek, the way it's written, it's emphatic. He's saying, you give them something to eat. I say you do it. You take care of these people. But that first worldly solution was send them away. Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. And as Andrew looks at the situation, he sees a young lad who had 5 barley crackers, which were basically grain for animals and the poor, and he also had 2 small pickled fish. And probably eaten, obviously, with the crackers. They were just more of a snack-type food for him. And look at, you got 15 to 20,000 people. You got 5 small barley crackers and 2 small pickled fish. Who's that going to feed? Right? In the world's eyes, it's worthless. How in the world can this feed all these people? And that's our problem many times. God has given us things to use for his glory to minister to people, and we object or become discouraged when we look at what we have compared to the situation. And we say, what are they among so many? I remember years ago when my wife took the youth group to Mexico, and they went to these poorest areas, and they were bringing some corn, I think it was. There, something, let's see, what? I think it was corn or wheat to these villages. And they knew about how many people were there, so they had enough for everyone. But when they were there, it was like twice as many people than what they had food for. And so they decided, well, let's just give what we have. And they started taking the bags and bringing it out to the people. And by the time they were done, every single person had received a bag. They gave what they had, which wasn't enough. It's impossible now to feed all these people that are here. And God provided enough. It was an amazing witness to these kids of the power of what God can do. Taylor wrote, small things are not always contemptible. It all depends on the hands in which they are. Yeah. And Jesus said to these men, you feed them. How could that be enough for all these people? Well, like Psalm 145, 16 says, you constantly satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. That's our God. Don't send them away. Why? Because God's going to provide for them. Here's our problem. With men, this is impossible. So we see this impossible situation. We go, what can we do? What are these among so many? And we get our eyes off of what we can do, off of the resources we have, we forget about it. Instead of saying, Lord, this is what I have, you use it and see what he can do. Think about it. If God has called you to do something, he's equipped you to do it, don't you think he's going to give you the resources you need to accomplish the task that is before you? Of course. Jeremiah 32, 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Think about that. Put that into perspective. Is there anything too hard for God? No. Is there things that are too hard for me? Absolutely. With my crummy leg situation now, where it's really hard for me to sit and move around, I couldn't even put on my socks this morning. If it wasn't so cold, I'd probably have sandals on. But praise God for my wife who helped put on my socks. I can't do all things. Oh, but he can. And we got to take our eyes off of self and the resources we have, because there's not much, and say, okay, Lord, this isn't much, but this is what I have, and I'm giving it to you, and see what he's going to do. I mean, he created the heavens and the earth. Can he help me with the problem that I have? Of course he can. And it's not always easy, and it's not always instantaneous. And it doesn't always mean that the situation is going to be resolved, but he'll give us the strength to endure through it and to minister to people. I remember just recently, Mary's uncle was in the hospital dying, didn't know the Lord, didn't have long to live, didn't want anything to do with the Lord. It was all about money for him. And finally, his heart was softened, and he came to saving faith. He's no longer watching the business money shows. TV's off. He's saved, and now he's with the Lord. Did he need a healing? Oh, he got the greatest healing ever, his heart. You see, God can do amazing things. With us, it seems impossible. But someone reached out and shared Jesus with him, and he got saved. We can give to the Lord, like I said, the little things that we have. It's not necessarily money, but it's the gifts, the talents that God has given us, our resources. And you think, how can that help? I don't have much to give. How can God do anything with it? How can he even use me? And it's so easy to develop that mentality, but look at what we read. This little boy here who has with him 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? A snack lunch. But this lad, what did he do? He gave it to Jesus. Here, Lord, this is for you. And God was going to accomplish great things. One pastor said, listen carefully. It's not what we don't have to give to God that's the problem. It's what we do have but refuse to give to him to use for his kingdom. That's the problem. But I don't have much. How can God use it? This little boy didn't have much, but what he did have, he was willing to give to the Lord for him to use, and Jesus multiplied it and fed thousands. What did David have against Goliath? 5 stones. He only needed 1. That's all he had. To fight against this Philistine giant, armor, sword, spear. I mean, come on. You know, it's always funny when you see someone who is, you know, they may be 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", standing next to me. I look like nothing. Can you imagine what David looked like? No armor, a slingshot, and 5 stones. And what did God do? God used it mightily to bring down the giant. We may have things that we think are insignificant, and God says, go and minister to the people. Go use those gifts that God has given you and minister to them. See, it's not what we don't have to offer God that keeps us from being used. It's what we do have and we don't offer that keeps us from being used by him. Worldly solutions are not going to work. But I'll tell you what, you give to God and he will use it and multiply it and accomplish that. Now, Andrew said, but what are they among so many? He didn't believe that this food that this young lad had could feed all these people. But our next point, Jesus satisfies. Look at John 6, verses 10 through 13. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So they were filled. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Again, this was the time of the Passover. It's the springtime. The fields are bursting forth with grass and flowers. And Jesus says, go have the people sit down. And not just sit down anywhere they want it, but put them in groups of 50s and hundreds. Why? Because God is a God of order, not disorder. And how much easier it is to feed them as they're in these groups. And, you know, when I read of this, what's taking place here, and they're sitting on this hill being fed, it reminds me of Psalm 23 of the Good Shepherd, where he makes his sheep to lie down so he can feed them. And that's what the Lord does with us. We need those times. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.